tonight.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Anybody else? All right, then let's stand. Let's read in the book of Isaiah. Read you one verse of scripture and let you be seated. Thus saith the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to kind of introduce, the prophet would have to let you know this is what the Lord is wanting to say. In the Old Testament, he spoke by prophets, but John the Baptist was the last of the prophets. Now he speaks by preachers. That's right. John the Baptist was both preacher and prophet. He was the transition piece between the Old and the New Testament. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Well, I got a question. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? I want to talk about let God rest. Let God rest. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth. I'm thankful that it is always revealing and enlightening. It's always helpful. The truth is, it cannot be brought down by anything else because it is truth. And where there is truth, there is always hope and liberty in you. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you're a just God. And I'm glad to serve you in spirit and in truth in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let God rest. Even though God is a spirit, we don't think of, I preached a sermon called one time, God is a man and a man is God. And we need to think sometimes about God as a man, but we always think about him as a spirit. But even though God is a spirit, he's much like a person in that a man works, and then we're going to go home and you're going to rest and you're going to get up and you're going to go to work tomorrow and you'll work and then you'll have a day off and then you'll rest and then you'll go back to work. And so it's a cycle of work and rest and work and rest and so forth. But Jesus or God, when he created the earth, it took him six days and he labored, right? He worked for 6 days and we have 7 days in a week, right? And he said the Sabbath day, keep it holy. That was a day of rest, right? Where your day said, don't do anything. If the ox is in the ditch, you can go get him out, but that don't do anything. It's a day to remember me and just rest. Because he knows that our bodies need that rest. You need that rest. And so on the seventh day after creation, God, the works of God occurred in the first 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he didn't work. He rested because what he had labored began to work for him. Yeah, what he had worked at began to work for him. And he said, these are the generations of heaven and earth. Regenerate means to generation means it's perpetual. It keeps going. And so the sun come up again this morning, just like he did when he said he created the sun and the moon. It came up that morning and whatever day it was, I think it's like the fifth day, it came up and it's still coming up. Why? Because and God doesn't have to do that again. He rested. So what he worked at now works for him. And a lot of times people say, I'm going to retire. And I'm going to get me a little part-time job at Walmart. Well, no, that's not retirement. No, retirement's when what you've done works for you and rather than you still working for it. And so even God had a time in which he would rest. And I think perhaps we've always focused too much. Now, listen close. We've always focused too much in our preaching, our teaching about resting in God and never preached about God resting in you. Yeah, we always talking about us resting in God, and we'll go through a few scriptures about that. But we never really thought about God resting in you. And you can have a very peaceful home. I hope that you do. But you move somebody in your home that suffers from unrest, you won't rest either. That one person that moves in with all these issues in their life, all of a sudden you're not sleeping good, you got things going on, and now you're bothered and they're bothered and they're bothering you, and you, all of a sudden your rest goes down because someone moved into your home or into your life that has unrest, and now you have unrest. And so your seas used to be calm, but now they're troubled. As soon as Jonah got on the ship, it was such a peaceful day that day till he paid his fare and caught that ship to Joppa. And when he got on that ship, the winds started blowing and the waves started coming up. And everybody on that ship was suffering from unrest because of one person in the ship that had unrest. And so they all suffered. The seas were suffering. The fish were suffering. The skies were suffering. The mariners were suffering. The boat was going to get battered. And it wasn't until they got rid of the man that had the unrest and threw him into the sea that they got rest. And when the whale swallowed Jonah, he had unrest. He didn't have rest till he threw him up. And then when he got to Nineveh, Nineveh didn't have rest. And when you read the life of Jonah, he never rested. He's complaining to the day they closed the book of Jonah. I hope you rest in peace tonight, because he never rested his whole life. He was at unrest, and every place he went was unrest. Think about what you bring into other people's lives and what other people bring into your life. Throughout Moses and his journey, God was always drug around in a cedar or a wooden box from one place to the other. That box was called what? It's going to help me tonight. What was it called? The Ark of the Covenant. And what three things was in the Ark of the Covenant? All you scholars, help me. It was the Aaron's rod that budded. It was one of them. The Ten Commandments. The golden cup of manna. Those three things was in there. Now, you got to understand, they're in the box. They don't have styrofoam cushion like UPS. You package it up, you know. And no, it's just in a clang, 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 clang. And they'd get it out and set it out in front, you know, for a display, you know. And then they'd go to the next city, clang, 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 clang. And it set it out in front for a display. And then on and on and on. And it was like, God was like, you know, when are y'all ever going to stop this stuff? And so David was a man of war, right? That's why he couldn't build the temple. It was always war, too much bloodshed. And finally one day the war kind of ceased. And he said, I'm going to build me a house. Whoo, I'm going to build me a house. And he built him a big, nice house. And he's sitting in his house one night, flipping channels or whatever he did. And he's sitting in his house and he's like, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, this is so comfortable. Thank you. The Lord began to talk to him while he was at rest, and he said, what about me? What about me? You've been dragging me around in this box, and now you've got rest, and I'm the one that gave you that rest, and all these battles you were fighting, I'm the one that caused you and let you win all those battles, and now you got rest, and now you built you a nice home, and now you're at peace, but you're still dragging me around. How many of y'all still dragging God around? See? How many of y'all still dragging God around? How many of you go from job to job or this to this and that to that, this argument to that argument, this, and God's like, bang, 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 and you never give him rest. All these things that God's done for you, the Aaron's rod that budded, you know, overnight, almonds, you had food, the golden cup of manna, you woke up the next morning, you had manna, and the Ten Commandments, all these things were meant to give you rest. But him is bang, 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 bang. I want to talk about a place where God should rest. Are you still with me? Because all we think about is God give me rest. And he wants to give you rest. But when will you give him rest? And so we look at this Ark of the Covenant that Solomon, David said, okay, Lord, he got you getting to me now. I understand. When are you ever going to enjoy living outside of a suitcase? I mean, a suitcase is great on vacation for two or three nights, but after a while. And so Solomon builds a very fine, elaborate temple called Solomon's Temple. And they make a big declaration to bring the rickety box from where it was at in Jerusalem into Solomon's temple. Boy, they made a big deal about it. You know, they had all the trumpets and the priests and all this kind of stuff. And when finally God got a little better resting place, I mean, the cloud filled the temple that day, the first day. And they don't even get to minister because the Spirit of the Lord is so happy. He's so happy. Oh, finally, no, you're not going to bang me around anymore. Finally, I got me a place to rest. And then the Spirit of the Lord, when you finally give him a place to rest, Oh, see, when you finally get to where you're going to give him a place to rest, you'll be amazed at how much God you feel. You'll be amazed at how God answers your prayer. And Solomon goes on this long prayer. Lord, you said when we come before you, we could bring our children in here just like we did tonight. You'll be surprised when you give God rest what God can do when he's had a little rest. Just like you, when you've had a little rest, so I feel good now. I got me a little nap. I'm ready to go. God's just like you. God is like the dove. How many of you know what the sign of the dove is? It's peace. It's rest. And so God is like the dove, if you will, the Spirit of God, that Noah opens up the window and he sends out a raven and a dove. The raven doesn't come back. But the dove comes back. Why? It found no rest for the sole of its foot because it needed a place to rest. The spirit, even Satan is a spirit and he's looking for a place to rest. Spirits are looking for places to rest. And so he lets out the dove on the last time and the dove doesn't come back. Do you know why he didn't come back? It found a place to rest. And so this is so symbolic, if you will, of when Jesus is being baptized of John, and then he goes under the water, you know, and he comes up, and the dove, the Spirit descended like unto a dove, and it lit, the Bible said, it lit on him, and it remained. Well, that's the first time the Spirit of God ever stayed in a man. Very first time. The very first time that the Spirit of God ever stayed in a man. He came on Samson, but he left. He come on Gideon, but he left. Why? Because they weren't places to rest. But when the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, he let John the Baptist know, the one you see the Spirit come upon, and it remains the same as he. This was the first man the Spirit of God says, I can rest here. He's not going to trouble me like other people do. I can do mighty works with people that are at rest with me. Am I getting through? And too many people think that they're going to get the Holy Ghost and they're going to get rest. But I'm here to tell you, God's looking for a place so he can rest. He'll help you so you'll give him a place to rest. And why would the dove, being a symbol of the Holy Ghost, want to stay in a restless temple? The Ark of the Covenant and Solomon's temple were only temporary resting places for God. The permanent dwelling resting place on earth for God now is you. But what are you going to do? Bangity, bangity, bang, 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 and drag him around. And I'll tell you, I'm going to get in his face. And I'm going. You think the Holy Ghost wants to stay in that? You can't argue all the way to the church and slam the door and come here, oh, bless you, Jesus, I love you. You can't do that. Come on. You can't do that. The Holy Ghost don't do that. It's not, people wonder why they lost the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, unrest. Unrest, whether it be sin or whether it be a life of unrest. You've got to find rest. He wants to give you rest so he can rest. I'm sure some of you have children or had children, and I'll never forget when you give them the car keys. Lord, worried about it. And then when they start dating, then they got the car keys. You can lay your head down if you want to, but you're not going to rest. You lay your head down, and you're going to find out, Brian and Tracy, when them two start dating. Oh, yeah, they're going to date. You're going to find out. You remember the sermon. You're going to lay your head down. And let me tell you, you're not going to get let's rest. You're going to lay down. You ain't going to rest. You're going to be looking at him. He's going to be looking at you. Hope she's all right. And when you hear, you know, you start worrying when the front door clicks and you don't rest until the bedroom door clicks. Right, Sister Baggy? And then when they're home and safe, you rest. Right? But as long as your children are out, bang, 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 and you don't know what's going on, you don't rest.
They could have gotten wrecked. They could have been, this could have happened. And they may have had a flat. And they why didn't they call? And all these things. And you don't rest. But when they're home and they're in their bed and you open the door and you say, oh, they're home. Then you go, oh, you're at rest. God's the same way. He can't rest with you out doing other things that he wondering, are they coming home? Wow, wow, wow. Our scripture says that he's looking for a place for rest. He said, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, another stammering lips, another tongue will I speak to this people, whom he said, this is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing colon, yet they would not hear. See, he wants to give you this thing called the Holy Ghost so that you too can rest. But if you're not going to rest, he said, I'm not staying. I've been at too many motel rooms. Again, I've told you about it. They knock on my door. I want my money back when you do that. If you're not going to control, I call down there, hey, I'm paying good money for this room. I want to rest. And if I can't rest, I'm not coming back. If the Holy Ghost can't rest, it's not coming back. And the reason God is calling you to rest is because he wants rest. And all of our prayer and our fasting and our pleading with God, I believe in all of those things. I do, don't get me wrong. But all of these things, now listen close, are a sign of desperation. Think about it. You wouldn't pray if you didn't have a need. Why would you fast? Well, I'm going to go on a 10-day fast. For what? Elijah prayed that it would rain. And when it didn't, the first time, the Bible said he prayed more earnestly. The earnest, effectual prayer of a righteous man, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, the more need you have, the more you pray. So when you find people that are really praying, there's desperation. Nothing wrong with that. Even Jesus prayed. And he prayed, the closer it got to his hour, the more he prayed. But it's all signs of desperation. But after Jesus prayed, he rested. He rested. And sometimes I believe we need to pray and rest. And rest. Say your prayer and rest. Somebody said, well, you can't weary God. Well, that's not what the scripture says. It's not what the scripture says. One of the best outward signs that I can think of a person who's really at rest and at peace is not when they're lying in their bed and they got their eyes closed. Oh, he's at rest. Oh, he's at peace. I'm going to tell you, the best sign of peace is when you got a good old, this ain't a chair, but a good old chair there, and you, let me get that. I think they call it, ottoman or whatever. What is that thing? They call it a footstool in the Bible. And it's, oh, this ain't too comfortable like this, but if I had a footstool,